talking now with Maureen Meadows. And what's your address again?
3507 mm-hmm. West 49th.
Great. And you've lived here how long?
Since 1959.
Oh.
That's 41 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what we're doing is asking people about different subject matters like schools and churches mm-hmm. and various activities. So what I'm going to do is just start mm-hmm. with our topics and then go sure. through them in an organized fashion so that you can tell me about them. The first of all, I think the biggest thing with you people is arts and culture. And we want to talk quite a bit about the amateur music making that's gone on in this house.
Oh.
You could probably go on and on. But
no, no, I won't.
Oh, come on. Yes, we want to hear all about it. Okay, how did you first start? You know, you sang and...
lived in the camp, I joined Nicholas Goldschmidt's choir.
Oh, really?
Yes, that was the first choral singing I'd ever done.
Really?
Yeah, uh-huh. And I was in a little opera chorus before that. Oh. But I guess you could say it was with the Bach choir that I really started to do a lot of singing.
Oh.
And before that, of course, Michael had chamber music friends, especially Lawrence Young
mm-hmm.
and Gordon,
mm-hmm.
and they came along and played every week. And Lawrence started me singing leader.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I joined the Bach choir and then dropped out. And when I went back to re-audition, Kyle Tenhoop was the conductor, and he turned me down, and I was so hurt.
Yes.
And I said to him, well, why? I rang up and mm-hmm. asked why I'd been turned down. And the answer was because I hadn't taken it seriously before. And he said to me, why did you leave the choir?
Oh, well.
And my answer was, oh, I wanted to take some courses at UBC. I didn't tell him I was having babies all over the place. Nervous breakdown almost. So I just said I was taking some courses. And he thought it was flippant and that I didn't deserve to sing in the Bach choir.
Oh,
so he put me out for a while. And then when I came back after Sarah was born, Tom Marks was very much on the scene at that time. And I told him about this. He said to me, you should be singing in the Bach choir, you see. And I told him about this. So he said, you go back. Simon Stratfield was there, and I just know he'd love to have you.
Yeah.
So I went back, and Simon was charming.
Yeah, that was great.
From there on, it was great.
Yeah, that's great. And then you still sing with him?
No, I left about 5 years ago. We had the offer of a flat in London, a very, very cheap rate.
Ah.
And the first year I took a leave of absence mm-hmm. from the choir. And then it came up the second time. And it was, each time was for 3 to 5 months in London, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I realised I had to choose, so I chose London.
Yes.
And I don't really regret it, because I've enjoyed listening to it. And I'm also singing in choirs, I think, even now.
When are you singing?
Well, Jocelyn Pritchard's until she has now retired.
Uh-huh.
And we have a Gail Suderman, who's now our new conductor. Yeah.
Tell me about that choir.
Well, I can't say too much about it, Peggy. I was only in it for a year.
Oh, I see.
But of course, our magical group has been going, the Faculty Women's Magical Group, for the past 20-odd years.
Right. That's probably the one you should talk about, because I think we have some information on Jocelyn's choir.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess a group of us have been singing together for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and for the past few years we've been doing the Christmas concert for the Faculty Women, mm-hmm. and they seem to enjoy it.
That's really good.
There's not really much I can say about choirs. I sang with the Royal Choral Society for 1 year when I was in England.
Oh.
And, when we were on sabbatical.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from in England?
Where from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, I'm Irish. No?
Oh, you are?
Yes. And I was brought up in Coventry.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No, that's my home. But Michael and I live together in London. So when we go to England, we go to London.
Mm-hmm.
And then branch out and visit Coventry and Glasgow and all the rest of it.
Oh, yeah. Taking all the concerts and stuff.
I'd forgotten that was running.
Yeah, well, that's good. You're supposed to forget. Can you describe, we want to find out about how amateur music making goes on around here.
Okay, the amateur music making that's gone on here, we've done a tremendous number of things.
Mm-hmm.
I had parties every year at Christmas time, mm-hmm. and the faculty and this medical group mm-hmm. would be the core.
Yeah,
and then we brought in other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do the ceremony of carols and some mass or something. We always made a really good
concert.
Yes, a good concert. And then, of course, latterly, when Michael was at St. Chad's Church, we put together a choir there for special concerts. And we did them once or twice a year, and we'd have about 18 singers, and we put on the Schubert Mass and Haydn and really very good stuff with the orchestra, Elgar Strings. Paul Evergard. Yeah,
that's good.
Elgar Strings.
Yeah, that's wonderful. He's having a good time with that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a good time doing that.
And in fact, lately, just a few weeks ago, six weeks ago, Michael put on a concert at St. Chad's with 80 singers.
That's what I heard about this one, and we were going to
and
go.
And Paul's orchestra.
Yes. Oh, that's great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I missed that, unfortunately, because young Michael was playing in London at the same time.
Really?
And I'd arranged to go there.
I
couldn't change the ticket and so on.
No, that's right. Well, how about young Michael?
That's what I mean, young Michael.
Yeah, tell me what he's done.
Well, he has a band called The Falcons.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And they do surf music.
And what's that?
It's 60s instrumental rock.
Okay.
Rock. They don't use singers, they just have very good musicians, and they just play.
Okay.
And they sell very well in Germany and especially Japan.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Now, is he based in London, or is he down?
No, he's here in Vancouver.
Oh, yes,
still in London. They do play anywhere. And in fact, his band in 1999 won the Pipeline Award for this kind of music in London.
Oh, my
goodness. Which is why he was over there. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah. And Catherine, of course, our daughter, has been singing all over the place.
That's right.
And she sings a lot at St. Andrew's Wesley.
Oh, yes.
Especially when they have this Taser. Is it Taser? Mass.
I don't know.
And she usually sings the lead in that.
Oh, I don't know.
She's done a lot of singing in clubs and cabaret.
Yes.
And, as you know, with Peter Carson.
Oh, yes.
And she's now with what do they call themselves? Only something tones, not the overtones.
Not the other tones.
So in Marcia, Marcia's little group.
Oh, yeah.
A group of women. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name.
That's good. So
she's doing a lot of singing. And of course, Andrew is teaching and playing.
Oh, is he?
Now and again, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Lots of music.
Yeah.
And Mike, of course, goes on playing. He's the organist at St. Mary the Virgin.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Where is that?
On 51st and Fraser.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that.
Oh, he's still playing.
Oh, yes, my goodness.
Very much so.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So the music has been great.
It's always been very much part of your life here, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. From one thing to the next.
In fact, come down on Sunday. We're having a magical party for Joanna's return.
Oh, good.
Where is she? 4:30. She's been away to the States for a year to her mother in Washington.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. How's she doing?
She's doing fine. Doing very well, I think.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, maybe we can turn now to architecture. That's next.
Yes.
And this house. Tell me about this house.
Okay. Well, when we first came to see this house, when we first left England, the reason why we left England was that we needed space around, because Michael used to practice the piano at night when he came home from work, and neighbors object to this kind of thing in a small place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we said we wanted to come to Canada, and we wanted enough space around the house so that Michael could play at midnight without bothering the neighbors.
Great.
And a friend rang me up one night, and we've been here a couple of years, and she said, I found the house for you. I also said, I want bedrooms upstairs, not on the same floor as the living room, because I'm very untidy, and I don't want people looking at the unmade beds and then at the end of the house.
Exactly.
So she found me this house.
Isn't that wonderful?
We came down and looked at it, and we just looked around the garden, which is big, and it, at that time it was very secluded, no other houses behind us and so on. And we peeped inside the house. I say peeped in because there was an elderly chap asleep in the front room, so we just sort of looked around the corner. Yes. And upstairs there were some children sleeping, so we peeped into the bedroom and we came downstairs. And the estate agent sort of took us outside to the garden once more. We concluded the deal out there and said, yes, we'll buy it, just like that. And we didn't even know that you could dicker about price or anything in those days. Yeah. We just bought it.
Yeah, right.
Next morning, it was a Sunday actually, and on Monday morning we were at the bank and all done.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Now, what's the history of this house?
Now, the reason I know about the history is interesting because there was a knock on the door one day, and a little old gentleman with white hair and very blue eyes was standing there with a young man. This little old man said to us, I used to live in this house when I was a young boy. And I thought I would, and he was Scottish, and he said, I thought I'd just come in and say hello and let you know that I've been here. And so we said, come in. So he came in and he told us the history of the house. And it's quite interesting. He turned out to be a Mr. Jessamine. And apparently when the golf course was being set out, the man who designed it and then stayed on as their first pro for some years was Mr. Ayton, A-Y-T-O-U-N.
Oh, yes.
And our house had been on the McLeary, that was of course the McLeary land, and our house was one of the farmhouses on the McLeary lands. And when Mr. Ayton arrived, they had moved this house from its place on the golf course over here. And Mr. Jessamine sent us pictures of it being moved.
Oh, for goodness sake, isn't that wonderful?
So that was around 1920.
Oh, I see.
So the Aitons lived in here with their children.
Oh,
and then and then after 2 years, when the golf course was all ready to go, Mr. Ayton sent back to where do they have these golf things? It was Aberdeen or somewhere, anywhere, somewhere in Scotland, for Mr. Jessamine, who was then a 20-year-old or so. To come out and be his assistant. So Mr. Jessamine came out here as a 20-year-old and lived in this house with the Aitons, and he had the little bedroom upstairs, and he went up there, and he said, oh, it hasn't changed a bit. And I used to sit in that corner with my crystal set.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, wonderful, the crystal set.
Well, the house has changed a bit, actually, because there used to be two rooms down here, and we took out the partition before actually moving in. Yes, and made a big living room.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
So,
that's nice. Great. Now, it's fine. Okay. So, that was great. Now, you haven't done anything except...
Well, we just took down the partition, and I don't know whether it was original or not. There was no fireplace here. We've installed a gas fire into the chimney. And that's about the only big change we've made. We did something to the basement, of course, which was in its raw state.
You had the sawdust burners, I recall.
We had a sawdust burner. Oh, my God, we sure had a sawdust burner,
a lot of people there.
Yes, after we'd been here a couple of months, the sawdust man came to fill up the sawdust room outside there. And it was a great big truck with a huge hose, and he filled it up, you know. And later that evening, I kept smelling this smell of smoke, and I said to Mac, I'm sure I can smell smoke. And he said, you're wrong. He says, it's a good, healthy smell of sawdust.
Oh, yes.
So all through the night, I could smell this healthy smell of sawdust, and I got up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and I could still smell smoke. Yes. And I looked outside, and we have French windows upstairs mm-hmm. outside, and I looked outside and didn't smell smoke out there at all. And I never know why, but I was in the dark, of course, you know. And I switched on the lights. And when I saw the light, the room was filled with, I could hardly see my hand, so much smoke. You can see in through my smoke goodness. In the dark, but not right. in light. You can't see it in the light, do you see? You can't see it in the clear. And so, we're panicking, and I said, Mike, the house is on fire. So Michael got up, and we got the kids outside to the car. What a silly thing to do. I mean, the car could have gone to, well, I know, but I had no idea. Anyway, got the kids out of the car, and I remember being terribly calm and saying, darlings, we have to go out to the car because the house is on fire. Let's go.
Truly,
that's what I did.
Oh,
and Mike was down phoning the fire brigade, and meanwhile he went downstairs with a trying to get a hose and plugging it into the wrong thing. And so on. The fire brigade got stuck outside in the ditch here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we had long ditches in those days, you know. And anyway, by the time the firemen came around, we got the fire out. Michael had. But just to be quite sure, they hacked down everything in sight and we soaked the sawdust and so on. And it turned out that the man who'd filled the sawdust mm-hmm. bin had not checked that the little bulb in the ceiling was turned off before he started. And it was just spontaneous combustion, I guess. The bulb was covered up.
Yes,
the sawdust got hotter and hotter. That burst into flame.
My goodness. Yes. We're lucky.
I know, we saved that life. So if I hadn't turned on that light,
you would have
been amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is amazing.
Wow. So that was our introduction to life here. You know?
Yes, it's something. Like you're able to have a few vegetables and things in the garden, and you stopped doing that.
We're not great vegetables. So I'm not a keen gardener. Yeah. You are, but I'm not. And Michael does all the gardening,
right?
And I will deign to sniff a rose now and again. That's about it.
Well, you have lots of indoor activities.
I'm quite happy.
That's wonderful.
Maybe
you could talk a little bit about this dining set that you had made too, because.
The table.
Yes, the table, because was kind of interesting.
This was an old friend of ours, Oga Yule, he was a craftsman from Denmark. And I wanted a kitchen table made that would also look like a dining room table. And Oga said he would make it for me. So I said, it's got to be, Oga, that no hurt feelings if it gets mutilated by the kids. You know, they've got to be able to use it as a kitchen table as well. And he said, no hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. And the table has been going ever since. And it still looks great.
It does. I have a fax machine.
No, we don't even have an answering machine.
Or a computer or anything like that. Nothing. These modern
things. We haven't even got a television set.
My goodness.
You can mark that down.
Yes, mark that down. Yes, I will. Definitely. Did you ever have to get one when the kids were little or anything?
Definitely not.
No, good.
No, yeah. There was one on television here when we arrived. And we saw Andy, who was then about 3 years old. One morning I wakened early and he was sitting watching the test card on television. And he switched it on, he was just watching the test card. You know,
it was great fascination.
So I figured that was it.
Yeah.
So it disappeared and it's never returned.
Interesting. Very good. And probably the kids are better off not having had it because
they all say now that they're glad they didn't have it, but of course they used to sneak out to other people's houses. That I didn't mind. They could do what they like in their own free time. So they heard other people, they watched other people's sets. Probably including yours.
Yeah, possibly, yes. Oh, that's good. So, let's see if there's anything else. Before we finish about the house, I guess. Are there any features about it that you really liked?
No, but it was in a shocking state when we bought it. In fact, when we came up the front steps, we lived in a camp at the time, and a group of students and Fritz Bauer's organized it for us.
Oh,
and
we
got a truck and all the rest of it, and got all these boys together and shifted all these things. And we got most of the stuff into the house, And the last lot was a pile of books, or it was a trunk of books. And on the way up the stairs, the stairs collapsed.
Oh my goodness.
So the first thing,
yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So the first thing we had to do was get stairs, front stairs, mm-hmm. put in, and back stairs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And there were wires, old electric wires hanging from the ceiling and so on. And the people who had the house before us had broken up rather acrimoniously, I think. Mm-hmm. And
they didn't care who.
And they had a number of children, and mm-hmm. it was. I think uncomfortable for them.
Yes, I can imagine. So you paid, what, $14,000?
Yeah.
There, basically. Yeah, amazing. It was probably, mm-hmm. what, a quarter of an acre or...
A third.
Third of an acre. My goodness. Pretty good.
Yeah.
But then, since then, you've had to have this drainage thing done, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we had a terribly bad flood at one time. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's all...
It's all taken care of.
All taken care of.
Not since. Yeah. That's good. Now let me think what's next on the group. Has the fact that there's been trees and everything nearby, you know, sort of natural areas, has that been important to you, do you think? The fact you're near the parks and you're near,
well,
lots of gardens.
I can't honestly say it's been important mm-hmm. to me, mm-hmm. Peggy. Mm-hmm. It is to Michael and the rest of the family. They mm-hmm. all... I'm a city girl myself.
Yeah,
I'm happy in London.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I live in downtown Vancouver quite happily.
Well, that's interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Reasonably nice, yes. Actually. You know,
oh, sure.
Just any old squat, but...
I don't mind.
It's pleasant having the privacy. Mm-hmm. You know, when the children were young, they could run around here with nothing on mm-hmm. all day long. Mm-hmm. I could even trot around with nothing on too. They could no one around in those mm-hmm. days. You know?
Yeah.
Our friends came down to the country to visit.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. right, you were yeah. really in the country.
We were quite on our own here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was all woodland behind us, mm-hmm. right up to 47.
Have you known anybody in the reserve at all, any investment people? Or?
The children had friends, I forgot who it was, mm-hmm. Paul,
kept themselves from
they kept themselves, they've been very good neighbours, I mean we've never had any problems mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah.
Probably more problems with neighbors' kids than...
Yes, there you go.
That is fun. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Let me think.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. Yes. When we first came down here, there was just a little tiny house next door to us mm-hmm. That the people had built themselves, the Ralstons. They had one little girl. Well, eventually the Ralstons died, mm-hmm. and their little girl, Lorraine, inherited the house. Mm-hmm. And it was very small, as I've said, but they built a lovely brick fire or stone fireplace, you know, mm-hmm. large stones, and had an open fire on that every now and again. And excuse me. And when the little girl Lorraine got married and was building a house, they took down the old one, and she kept the old fireplace
oh.
and made that the center point of their new house.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. I thought was really very nice.
Yeah, that's
yeah. great. Yeah. And there were other little huts down the road here. There was mm-hmm. one, you know, Annette's house.
Oh, yes,
Annette. Yeah, Annette, you know, place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the house next door to her, they were both on one lot.
Mm.
And someone bought, in fact, Peter Scrimshire bought it.
Oh.
I'll tell you something off the record later, yes. but yes. I don't want this
one. No, okay.
So you can turn
it off. I can turn it off. Okay, tell me. That's right. So, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah, we'd like to talk about, you read that church or anything except other than Michael playing and you singing in church, is that right? Or did you go to church at all?
Oh, yes, we went to St. Anselm's for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, that's quite a long trek.
Yeah. No, we lived out there. I mean,
oh, that's right, yeah, out there, yes.
Yeah, we went to St. Anselm's. And then Mike started playing the organ there when Ben Ben wanted someone else to come and do it for him now and again.
Okay.
And then they sort of took turns every now and again.
Yeah.
And then when the United across the road mm-hmm. wanted a full-time organist, mm-hmm. Michael got that job.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Because we knew most of the people there anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. So he got that job, and then from there, when that church collapsed, you know,
mm-hmm.
then Mike went to St. Chad's.
Okay.
He So we've always
been connected with the church, but you know,
every now and again we went to Knox a couple of times, but I prefer the Anglican myself. We go to St. Philip's now and again.
Okay.
But then, of course, we've always really had a church to talk to here.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. And schools, we're investigating schools. Do you have any memories of those?
Andy started off at Southlands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, young Michael went to Southlands.
Mm-hmm.
And then to Lord Byng. And Andy, when he started at Southlands, I was very impressed with a young English teacher. I went up there one day to speak to her about something or other, and she left the door half open, but the children couldn't see her. I could see them through a crack in the door, and I was impressed by the fact that not one of them moved while the teacher was out of the room. These were little six-year-olds. And I thought, my God, that's iron discipline for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, our son was not doing very well, and she said that he didn't open his mouth in the class all day long. And was he all right?
Yeah, that's right.
Invited her down here, and she saw him jumping from the top of the chicken coop and things like that.
Yes.
But anyway, we decided that that wasn't really the right atmosphere for Andy.
Yeah.
So we sent him to the new school, and that got going. He was in his second year at that time.
That's right.
He went to the new school. We were on 17th. And then Paul went there also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was... Where was that?
That was 17th and Commercial.
In Commercial? Yeah, that's right.
And it was a free school run by the parents.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group of Werner Cohn and the Browns. Do you remember Don Brown and Julia in philosophy and
right.
so on? Well, they had Epstein's. So anyway, we sent the kids there for 2 years, and then Paul started there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to the States for 1 year, for Sarah was born.
Mm-hmm.
And in the States, we found that they started earlier and were much more keen on math and all sorts of things than they'd been at the new school. There was a little bit of catching up to do. But the thing about the new school was that Andrew had started there at the age of, 7?
Mm-hmm.
And within a year, he was reading grade 5 stuff. Whereas he was doing nothing. It wasn't a great school.
No. I think, I saw some interesting...
But on the other hand, Paul went back to it. It was okay, when he came back. So it's just one teacher wasn't
quite right.
Wasn't right for our child.
Right.
I look back in those days now, going all that way with children in the car and picking up other kids and so on. It was bad,
I know.
I can't believe it.
Driving around all the time, you didn't have much time for yourself.
Paying 9% of our taxable income, or 10% of taxable income.
That's right, for education.
As fees,
For us.
And of course, the idea was that there would be a cross section of society. You see, if you're only paying 10% of taxable income, those on very, very little, and it was over in the East Side, would be able to have their kids go to the same school as those people who could afford a lot of money. You see, and of course, it didn't work that way because the East Enders didn't bother taking their kids there, but the graduate students here who lived on nothing did.
So
graduate students with $2,000 a year were doing jolly well with their kids.
Now tell me about young Michael and how he got into music and that kind of thing.
Yeah, he started at school in Lord Byng on the what's it called?
Marimba.
A little guitar. What do you call the other?
The other harp?
No.
Ukulele.
Ukulele.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was ukulele. Like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At school in the band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he just enjoyed it so much. So he got a guitar and he went to a man down on the beach at the bottom of Langara, Macarno, I think it was.
Okay.
And he taught guitar.
Oh.
So Michael went to him for lessons. and he just loved guitar.
Isn't that wonderful?
He also, of course, had piano and cello and lessons.
All the things. Oh, my goodness. Oh, did he get that in school, too, or mostly privately? Yes, it's good to hear that the school music does something to some kids.
Yeah, it was terrible. But I don't think any of the other kids got anything out of school music.
It's funny, isn't it? Just that chance.
I think there was a recorder class, and Catherine got a recorder, and that was about it.
Yes. My, our Muriel met a chap in Arizona who had gone through Lord Bing. I guess he passed through, and he said that if he hadn't had the band at Lord Bing, that he just wouldn't have gone on. He just was so disappointed with school.
Yeah,
it really saved him.
Not a good school. Not a good school. No. In fact, I guess it was a time of unrest anyway. Kids were beginning to wear their hair long and so on.
That's right.
And be rebellious, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, and I remember having a bit of a row with a teacher one day. Because Michael had failed English, and I went along to talk about it to the teacher, and she said, I asked him to do something about to write one page or something on this, whatever it was, you know, and this is what he gave me, you see, and she handed me this paper, and there was a poem, and it was a long poem, and I said to her, oh my goodness, I said, if you have all your students as good as this, you're a bloody lucky woman.
Yes.
I've never been spoiled in my life.
Oh, no.
Ding, ding, and call the headmaster. Oh, God, yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Funny.
So her point was, of course, that it wasn't really on the subject she had
it was a creative guy, but he didn't recognize it.
I said, well, you know.
Yeah.
You can just fail him on that.
No. Oh, my goodness.
She was so upset by using that weird...
Dear.
She only heard the kids later on at grade school, what they came out with, you know.
Oh, I know. That's it. Times change.
Anyway, Michael went on to do well enough for himself. You know, he has a diploma in fine arts from Victoria, he concentrates on repairing antique musical instruments.
Oh, that is wonderful.
With the parks thing at Ottawa.
Ottawa, probably, Does he do it here, too? Or?
Well, where he can, but he is working on it, and he does odd things at the museum every now and especially over in North Van every now and again. Right? He did some work for the museum, the Maritime Museum.
Oh, yes.
So he's very good with his woodwork.
Where did he learn woodworking?
I guess that was... I think Oga taught him.
Oh, right.
Quite a bit of basic woodwork. And then, of course, a lot of it came in with his repairing these instruments, you know. I don't know about his large amounts of large woodworks, but certainly meticulous things.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So these, I'm trying to search around mentoring and figuring out how people got started in their life's work, maybe, or through somebody just helping them in the neighborhood, you know.
Yeah. I think Mike did some work for a chap in an art gallery. Which one was it? It's a well-known art gallery here. And I think he did help him. I don't know whether it was repairing the lovely old frames and things like that. So he used to do that kind of work. And then he decided to go for it professionally, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's what he did with fine arts thing at Victoria.
I remember there was on the east side, of course, I guess he was in Falls Creek, that instrument maker, the violin maker that. He must have mentored Ross Hill and people like that. There was an old chap. I can't remember him. I can't remember his name.
There was one down on Dunbar there a long time ago.
Let's see if there's anything else. Well, transportation, that's my chapter. Do you remember anything about getting around?
Well, when we first came down here in 1960, there was a bus which went along Southwest Marine Drive, the 49th bus, and then after a year or so, they took it away. And so for many years, we had no bus along nearer than 41st Avenue. And then they brought it back again about 10 years later, 15 years later, wherever it was. When they got more houses down here, I guess, there were very few houses as last year. But transportation's always been a problem.
Yeah.
It's a long hike.
Council grant